All right, let's take our Bibles and go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 for our lesson tonight. We are doing a Bible study on Wednesday nights through the book of 1 Corinthians. And we are cruising right along in the 7th chapter. And Paul has been asked a series of questions and about marriage and divorce and remarriage, and he is giving the answers in this 7th chapter. And as we have already learned, the only problem with all this is that we have the answers, but Paul did not give us the questions. So we have to, from the answers, guess the questions. And it's not that complicated. It's pretty easy to figure out what the question is. But it's interesting to say the least. Now, let's begin reading tonight where we left off last week in verse 8. Verse 8. And I'm going to read down through verse 17. So if you will follow along as I read and listen carefully to what the Apostle Paul says here in verse 8. He says, I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. All right, better to marry than to burn. And I'll explain that in just a few minutes. Verse 10, and unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. In other words, Paul is saying this is not something that you have not heard before. What I'm about to tell you, the Lord Jesus has said. And he did say so in Matthew 5 and in Matthew 19. So he said in verse 10, unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. And here's the command from the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. All right, so if you're married, Paul says, stay that way. Verse 11, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. All right, let's pray real quick, and then we will look at the next set of questions. Let's pray. Father, we ask now your blessings upon us. These are interesting words. They are filled with with meaning and with purpose. And I pray that, Father, you'll bless us tonight as we look at them. I pray thanking you for giving us this information. It sure helps us. And I pray that you will bless what is said tonight and give us understanding of your word. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. All right. I want you to look now at verse 8. Paul says here, I say therefore unto the unmarried. Now, I mentioned this briefly just last week, but I need to say it again to make sure that everybody understands. Words mean something, okay? And these words are important. And you will notice here in verse 8, he says that there was in the Corinthian church a group of people who were unmarried. All right, they were unmarried. Then you will notice in verse 8, he says that there was a group of people, or there were a group of people in the church who were widows. All right, now we know why a widow is not married. It's because the spouse has deceased. Okay, then you will look down at verse 25. In verse 25, there is another group of people in the church at Corinth. And Paul says, verse 25, now concerning virgins. All right, so we know that the virgins are not married. Okay, so there's unmarried. Then another group, widows, and we know why they're unmarried. They're unmarried because their spouse has passed away. All right, and then there's virgins. Why are they unmarried? Well, because they're young and they have not married. Okay, so they're unmarried. So you got three groups of unmarried people here. So the question then becomes, well, who are these unmarried people that are mentioned first in verse 8? Who are they? And they have to be divorced people. People that were in the city of Corinth and in the lifestyle of Corinth, who then got saved and joined the church. They became a part of the church in Corinth. And they were unmarried because they were divorced. And so the question is, what about these people? What do we do with these people? And they were wondering, are we to stay unmarried? Are we to live unmarried? And so we let the word unmarried interpret itself. Because in this chapter, this is the only place where the word is found, and it's mentioned four times in this chapter, and it must mean that these people were unmarried because they were divorced before they got saved. Then they got saved, and now they're in the church unmarried, and they're wondering, what is our status now? Now, if you look at verse 10, Paul is going to start answering this question. And the question is, should those who were formerly married remarry? That's got to be the question. Because he says, now, unto the married or the unmarried, all right, so they were divorcees, so they were formerly married. Unto the widows were formerly married. Nod your heads, right? I'm not trying to trick you. I'm trying to get you to see that who Paul is talking to here and what the answer is going to be. So an unmarried person would be a single person, divorced, who had been married before but is now single and is now in the church, and they're looking around, and now that they're saved, and they're saying, okay, well, where do I fit in this picture? Can I get married to a Christian woman? Can I marry a godly woman and have a marriage that is blessed of God? And then the widows, there'd be a widow in the church, a young widow in the church. And the question is, well, can she marry? Can he marry? His wife has died. Can he marry? Her husband died and she's 35, 40 years old. Can she marry? And so that's the question. So the question is, should those who were formerly married remarry? All right, now look at Paul's answer in verse 10. In verse 10, he says, "And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband." Let not the wife depart from her husband. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. So folks, listen, it is quite clear that the unmarried in this chapter are folks who were divorced. It is really the only way that you can understand this word that is used here, to see and to understand that Paul is referencing formerly married people. It is not to virgins, it is not to widows, because it is used with both of these words, and which describe and define a single individual. Now, I believe that if you look carefully at your Bible, we can get the answers here. All right, so Paul says, hey, if you're married, verse 10, then stay that way. If you're married, don't leave your spouse. If you're married, don't leave your spouse. And now look at verse 11. But, and if she depart, then let her remain unmarried. So if you divorce, without biblical grounds for divorce, which Jesus gave, which is adultery, if she depart, let her remain unmarried. So if you leave, then you got to remain unmarried. You only got two choices. You either remain unmarried and live the rest of your life unmarried, or you reconcile with your spouse. Okay? And so what's good for the goose is good for the gander. All right? So let her be reconciled to her husband. And then he flips it around and says, and husband, don't put away your wife. All right, so if you're married, stay that way. All right, so I think that verse 11 is referring to someone who was, verse 10 and 11 are referring to someone who was formerly married, but are not widows, and they are people who are now single, but they are not virgins. And I also think that Paul is speaking to people who were divorced before coming to Christ. They came to Christ and then began to ask the questions, okay, what right do I have to marry? Do I have a right to marry? I've been divorced before I was saved. And now that I'm saved, I want to know what my standing is. All right, now let me give you some for instances here. Let's say, for example, that a fella had married twice and divorced twice. And he divorced both of the women that he married. And then he was saved. Now, before he got saved, he had never heard a thing about God's law or thought about what God might have wanted him to do. It never crossed his mind. He didn't know God. He was raised in Corinth. He was raised in mythology. And he believes in the gods, not the God. Okay? And so his culture is you can marry, divorce, you can cohabitate, you can, you know, whatever. Whatever's fine. You just, you know, whatever you want to do, that's cool. Do it. And that was Corinth. That was the way they were. So before he got saved, he didn't know anything about God or about God's law, or he never thought what God might want him to do. Let's even say, we'll take it a step further, and even say that he was guilty of adultery and that both of his marriages ended in divorce because of his unfaithfulness to the woman that he was married to at the time. All right? So, and then he gets saved. All right? So they wanted to know, does this person have a right to get married now that they've trusted Christ as their Savior? And then let's say there is a widowed person in the church of Corinth, and that person's spouse has died, and let's say that this person is 30 years old. All right, let's say the spouse fell off a camel and hit the ground, broke his neck. All right, so he's dead. And so she's 30 years old. She's got two kids, or 3.2 kids, however what the norm was. And so now she's 30 years old, and she's sitting there going, thinking to herself, wow, man, I'm saved now. I know the Lord. I'm growing. I'm learning. I sure do wish I had a godly husband. I wish that I had a godly husband. So the question was, can somebody who has been married and divorced, now is unmarried because of divorce, can that person remarry? That's what I think the question is, and what Paul answers in verse 8, 9, and 10. So he's asking, can, if you've been married and divorced, can you remarry? And does the widow have a right to remarry? All right, now let's look at it. Beginning in verse 8, there is this provision that is given by Paul. Look at your Bible in verse 8. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows. Now here it is. It is good for them if they abide even as I. Now we talked about this last week. Paul was not married. He was a widow. His wife had passed away. And after she died, he did not remarry. And so he says that this is God's provision for those people. Listen, look at me now. Those people, unmarried, divorced, unmarried, now saved, but unmarried. This is God's provision for the unmarried divorcee, and this is God's provision for the widow. Do you see that in verse 8? Are you here? Do you understand English? All right. You with me? Okay. Now, so that I think that Paul is saying this is God's provision for you. Now, what is that provision? Well, here it is. Paul said, I wish you could all just be like me. Now, why does he want them to be like him? Well, we briefly looked at that last week. If you are single, you can devote full time to the Lord's work. That's the point that he's making. He's not thinking of anything else other than the fact that if you're not encumbered by a spouse, and if you're not encumbered by bills, and if you're not encumbered by children, you are free to do more for God. That's what he's saying. But now, wait a minute. Not everybody can do that. Okay? And so look at what he says. But, verse 9, if they cannot, if you cannot handle being single, Paul said, let them marry. Why? Well, it is better to marry than to burn. It is better to marry than to be eaten alive by desire and by lust. All right? And so this is the only question that makes sense out of this passage. It is really the only question. Why? Because, folks, that's the question they're asking. Look at verse 17. Look at verse 17 again. He said, but as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And so I ordain, or so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Then let him not be circumcised. Why? Well, Paul goes, duh, circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. It's just keeping the commandments of God. But let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called, being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therefore, abide with God. You see, Paul's whole concern here, this is the summation of his argument, and the summation of his argument is this. Now that I've become a Christian, what do I change? What do I change? I mean, in verse 17 to 24, Paul is basically saying this. Look, don't change anything. Stay in the state you are in right now. Stay single if you can and devote yourself to God. If you can't, then get married and you and your spouse live for God. Now, why? Well, the answer is found in the last part of verse 9. For it is better to marry than to burn. Listen, folks, it is better to get married than to spend your whole life, the rest of your life, fighting the threat of fornication or adultery because you cannot control your passions. That's what he's saying. God did not create you with that desire and that drive in you just so you would live your life in total, constant frustration. And Paul argues, hey, if you can stay single, then stay single. Being single is a gift from God if you can do that. If you can do that, that's a gift from God. If you can't, even though you were formerly married, you are given not only the right, but the instruction to get married. Why? Because it is better to marry than to go through life burning with lust and passion. I believe, listen, folks, when a person gets saved, it is the dawning of a new day. Wasn't it so with you? Now, let me ask you a question. Do you know 2 Corinthians 5:17? Does anybody know that verse? Anybody know it right off the bat? Yes, say it. Exactly. Therefore, if any man be in who? Christ. Oh, okay. So in other words, if you get saved, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new what? Creature. And then old things are what? Passed away. And behold, all things. I wonder what all means. all things are become new. All right? So listen, folks, that either means what it says or it doesn't. I'm going to believe what it says. Okay? It either means all things or it doesn't. It either means old things or it doesn't. You say, but, I know. But now, let me ask you, if you were raised in a home where there was no God, no Bible, no Jesus, if you were raised in a culture where mythology was your God, and you bowed to the gods, not to the God of heaven, and you had no direction, you had no Bible, you had no Old Testament, and let's say you were immoral, and you got married, and then you divorced, and then one day, when you were 26 years old, you heard the gospel, and it broke your heart, and you got saved, and you started attending church, and you were baptized, and then you started to grow, and let's say now you're 27, 28, 30 years old, and now you have your head on straight, and you have a decent job, and you have a nice house. Do you think that you're just going to, that God intends for you just sit there and be lonely? No, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And Paul said, if it cannot contain, verse 9, let them, what? Marry. But, quit button, goat's butt, sheep follow. All right? Sheep follow. What's it say? If they cannot contain, let them marry. I didn't write it. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what it says. All right? But I know. You know, sometimes you got to unlearn things before you can learn anything. You know what? Paul said, I wish you could all be like me. But hey, if you can't handle being like me, being alone, go ahead and get married. Now, here's the key. Look at the end of verse 30. Go all the way over to 39. He just keeps arguing for the case. And look at verse 39. He said, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will. Does the sentence end right there? No. What's the caveat? Only in the Lord. In other words, look here. Back here, before you were saved, you saw, you know, Charles Atlas, you know, you saw, you know, the hunk of the year, and your heart melted, and you went, oh, and you married for the wrong reason. And then you found out that there wasn't a whole lot of honey in that honeymoon. Man, it didn't take you no time to figure out you'd made a mistake. And, I mean, wow. All right? Paul says, hey, now that you're a new creature in Christ, and you're growing, and you're serving, and you're learning, and you're maturing in the faith, now don't make the same bonehead style decision that you made the last time. This time, if you marry, make sure it's in the Lord. You do it the right way. Do it the right way. Do it in the Lord. You better make sure the one you're marrying this time is a believer and is the man or the woman that God sent your way. Don't mess up and marry the wrong person again. And folks, Paul is consistent here in this principle. Hold your place in 1 Corinthians and go over in your Bible to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 5. All right, let's look down through here. He says, just getting some of the verses so you get the context. He said, verse 2, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. He said, honor widows that are widows indeed. But if a widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable for the Lord. And come down to verse, go down to verse 9. Let a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will what? There you go. You know, it's just common sense, isn't it? I mean, God made us male and female for a reason. Okay? And for as long as we've been on the planet, males have liked females and females have liked males. It's just the way God made us. And so Paul is not going to sit here and say, look, bud, you fouled up back here when you were lost. You fouled up back here before you got saved. And now you're saved and now you want to get married? Too bad. No, that's not it. That's not it. Paul says, look, serving the Lord, that's what we're about. We want to serve the Lord. So you make sure that if you're now saved and you want to marry and it'll help you serve the Lord, then marry. But do it the right way. All right? Now, go back to verse 11. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried. All right, so if you're married, then you can't say, all right, well, I'm just going to leave this. I'm going to leave this one, go find me a new one. No, can't do that. You can't do that. Paul said, stay married. All right, stay in the condition, stay in the state you're in. But Paul is consistent with this matter, and it's better to marry than to burn. So the second question is, should formerly married people marry? And the answer is, it's optional. If you can stay single, stay single. If you cannot, then it's okay, because it's better to marry than to burn with a lustful heart. All right, does that answer that question for you? All right, now look at verse 10. That brings us to question number 3. And question number 3 is this: what are the alternatives for those that are married? What are the alternatives? All right, now, let's look at the background for this question. Paul is evidently aware of what was happening at the church in Corinth. He started the church. And many of the people that were saved and members of the church were people that he led to Christ. So he's familiar. He knows these people that they are writing and asking questions about. People were coming to the Lord, and then they said, wow, I am married to an unsaved man. I'm saved now, but my husband is unsaved. Or a man says, I'm saved now, but my wife is unsaved. And so they the question came up, can I get rid of him? Or can I get rid of her? They're not saved, so can I get rid of them? Can I divorce them? Now, I can imagine that some zealous, right out of Bible college fireball got up with his little green attitude, and he preached a stirring sermon that said, if you want to live for God, you got to get rid of that unsaved partner because the devil is in your house. The devil is corrupting your children. You got to get rid of him. Two cannot walk together unless they be agreed. And you can't have light with darkness. So you just need to get rid of that old Beelzebub that lives under your roof. I can hear the sermon now. And the scenarios would be numerous of what could happen. Let me give you a for instance. Let's suppose two people married to each other. And I think the answer is for them. There's several of them. But two people married to each other. And they both got saved at the same time together. But let's say that the man decides that he wants to be a spiritual Christian. And so a few weeks go by, a few months go by, and he looks over at his wife, and he thinks to himself, I'm not happy with this union that we made before we were saved. Now that we're Christians, I'm growing like a weed, and she really doesn't care at all a whole lot about it. She's saved, but I think she just did it to make me happy. And I'm just not sure she's got her heart in this like I do. And we're really not getting along very well. So I think that I'd like to just start over. Can we dump each other and find new spouses and start over? Now, so the question was, what happens now that I've gotten saved? I'm still married, but do I have to stay that way? I think that's the background for the question. Now, what's the answer? Well, the answer is in verse 10, and here it is. The answer is, no, you can't divorce. You stay married. You stay married. Look at verse 10 and 11. The command is, don't divorce. Paul goes right back to the words of Jesus in Matthew 5, and in Matthew 19, and says, don't divorce. You don't have a biblical foundation. He does not deal with the adultery caveat that Jesus mentioned. He doesn't deal with that. That doesn't even come up. Paul, listen, he's not giving anybody any excuse at all to divorce. That's not what this is about. He is not dealing with it. He's saying, hey, look, I know what some of y'all are thinking. I know you're thinking, you know, we got saved back here or we got married back here before we were saved. Now we're saved. Can I divorce this one? Get me a new one. And the answer is no. No. Now, look at what he says in verse 11. If you do divorce, stay single. All right? You don't have biblical grounds for divorce. So if you do divorce, you can't remarry. You got to stay single. You say, well, I can't handle that. Then reconcile. You come and sit down with the pastor and let them take the Bible and show you how to get along with one another. Reconcile. But don't go out here and divorce. You say, well, why not? Because Jesus said, if you do that, then you are causing the person you marry to commit adultery, just like you're committing adultery. That's why. And you don't want to do it. Two wrongs don't make a right. All right? And I believe, listen, folks, he went back. Paul went back. Look at verse 10 and 11. Paul went back to God's standard from the very beginning in Genesis 1:27 and in Genesis 2:24. And he says, look here, church, if you're married, then stay married. And I believe he is speaking here to two Christians. And I say that because look at verse 12. In verse 12, he says, but to the rest speak I, not the Lord. And in the 12th verse, he speaks of a Christian married to a non-Christian. All right? So in verse 11, I think he's talking about two saved people. All right? Look at verse, look at verse 12. He says, but to the rest speak I, not the Lord. But this is Paul. He said, if any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she is pleased to dwell with him, then stay married. Amen. Stay married. If she's willing to live with you, stay married to her. All right? Stay married. And he is in verse 12, he speaks of a Christian married to a non-Christian. So because he doesn't get to a mixed marriage between a saved and an unsaved until verse 12, in verse 11, he must be referring to two Christians married to each other. And his answer to the two married people who come to Christ is this: stay married. Don't divorce. Don't divorce. And notice in verse 11, in the first part of the verse, Paul warns against further sin. Paul knew that some folks were going to disobey God, and he knew that some folks were going to get a divorce. And so he says, if you're going to go ahead and disobey God at one point and get a divorce, you better stop right there. Don't take it another step forward and remarry. Stop right there. If you're going to divorce, all right, then don't get married. If you don't have a biblical grounds for divorce, adultery, then don't divorce. Don't go any further with it. So he says, if you're going to go ahead and disobey God and divorce, you better stop right there. You can tell people what God wants, but the truth is, a lot of folks are just going to do what they want to do anyway. So Paul set up another roadblock and says, hey, if you break one law, please stop there. Don't go any further. So Paul is not saying that it's okay to get a divorce. He is simply saying, if you're going to be disobedient and divorce without adultery being involved, don't go any further. Because if you divorce, you only have two options. One is to stay single, and the other is to reconcile. That's all you got. That's all you got. And by the way, according to verse 10, this command to stay married is not just a suggestion. It is a command. It is not just a counselor's nice idea or good advice from a compassionate friend. It is a command from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus says, stay married. Does that make sense to you? Now again, Paul is not considering the adultery exception here in this section. That was considered in Matthew 5 and in Matthew 19 by the Lord Jesus. And Paul doesn't change that. He just doesn't bring it up here. If there was adultery in the marriage, then there would be freedom to divorce. And if you have biblical grounds for divorce, then you have biblical grounds to remarry. But even there, you don't have to. You don't have to divorce. Let's say your spouse does commit adultery. You don't have to divorce them. You don't have to. As a matter of fact, God will bless tremendously if you will trust him to put the relationship back together again, where there's repentance and forgiveness is given. Paul is not saying that you have to, or Jesus is not saying you have to divorce if there's adultery. Even there, you don't have to. Jesus said you could, but you don't have to. You can work things out. You can seek forgiveness, and you can seek reconciliation. But apart from that, Paul reaffirms the divine ideal here and says, hey, folks, if you're married, don't divorce. That's what he's saying. Don't do it. And if you do, then you'll have to remain single for life, or else go back to your spouse. Those are your only two options. So if you divorce a Christian partner for reasons other than adultery and then marry someone else, you become an adulterer, and you turn the person you marry into an adulterer. So if you're married to a Christian, for Pete's sake, get along and stay married. All right? If you violate the law, that law of God, then by all means, stop right there. Don't go any further and further complicate and mess up your life by marrying again. Stay single or reconcile with your spouse. All right, now, that leads to verse 12 and 16, and I got 2 minutes. Look at verse 12. Here were people in the church who were married, and they had a spouse, a partner, who was not saved. One person was saved, one wasn't. And they ask, should I get out of this marriage? The woman, let's say, is saved, and she's married to a man who worships idols and who goes to the heathen temple and who indulges in horrible wickedness at that temple. And the man is just a typical Corinthian pagan soul. What does she do? Well, verse 12 and 13 and 14, Paul is saying, hey, listen, if the unbelieving spouse wants to stay married, then by all means, stay married. If he doesn't and he wants out of the marriage, then let him go. Let him go. Let him go. And he said, but if he doesn't want out of the marriage, stay in the marriage. Look at verse 14. The unbelieving spouse is sanctified by the believing spouse. Now, that is not salvation. That unsaved spouse will not get saved simply because he has a Christian spouse. That's not what Paul is saying. But the believing spouse will have God's grace and God's goodness and God's blessing and God's power poured out upon her, and it will splash on the person who is their spouse. God will make sure to reward your faith, and instead of the unbelieving spouse corrupting the home, the Lord will see to it that the blessing upon the believing spouse will be a positive and godly influence. So, don't get divorced. Even if you're married to an unbeliever, Paul said, you ought to try and stay together. If they want to stay together, stay together. Don't divorce. But notice, if some of the unbelieving spouses did divorce in verses 15 and 16, Paul said, let them depart. And if they do depart, then you are not under bondage in such instances. Now, you know what that means? That means if they leave because they don't want to be married to a Christian, if they leave, then you are free to marry again. A godly marriage this time. It's got to be, verse 39, only in the Lord.